While most of the country was still talking about how the Supreme Court might rule in its landmark same-sex marriage case, the justices issued a quiet little ruling that kind of shocked the world of campaign finance. 39 states at least elect at least some of their judges. And Wednesday, the court ruled that states can bar those judges from personally raising campaign money. Now, the Robert Courts is already known far and wide for its money equals speech ruling in Citizens United. It threw the door wide open for politicians to raise unlimited cash from virtually unlimited sources. But Wednesday, the court said judges are not politicians. They agreed with the Florida Supreme Court, which ruled that the state could stop a candidate for a county court judge seat who had directly solicited donations. And that means that the political fundraising the court had previously said is speech protected under the First Amendment now has a limit, if you're a fellow judge, that is. Justice Barbara Perrienti has served on Florida Supreme Court since 1998. She's concerned about the state of the judiciary as special interest funding has invaded judicial elections over the past several years. Justice Perrienti, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Your original ruling in the case has been affirmed now by the Supreme Court. Why has this issue become important?
First of all, the ruling, of course, is the ruling of the Supreme Court, and it's an important recognition of the difference between the two political branches and the judicial branch. The court's position is articulated as recognizing the compelling need to protect the integrity of the judicial system and to promote the public confidence in the fairness and impartiality of the judiciary.
Well, of course, the political branches need integrity, too. Senators, congressmen, local aldermen. Why in the real world do you think it's a problem for judges to directly solicit support for their campaigns? They have expenses to run for office just like a senator or an alderman.
Well, first of all, understand that although 39 states have some form of judicial election, many of the states, including Florida, use a system known as merit selection and retention. So when judges in retention states appear on the ballot, as they do in Florida, as they did in Iowa, Tennessee, and Kansas, they are not technically running for office. They are asking for another term. And I make that point because it is very different than a judicial election where there are two opposing candidates. But to answer your question directly, in the judicial branch, we are not accountable to the will of the majority or to popular opinion. So judges must feel free and the public must believe that judges make rulings not based on who has contributed or who is threatening to remove them from office if they do not like an opinion, but to rule in a way that promotes equal justice under the law. So that is a fundamental difference between our branch and the other two branches who are accountable to the will of the majority.
So there's an expectation in politics that an elected official in the Senate or the House or anywhere else must be representative and responsive to the public. And for a judge, it's just not that way.
For a judge, it must not be that way because our citizens depend on courts to protect our rights and resolve disputes in a fair and impartial manner without favoring one side or the other.
Now, we should be clear. The state could still allow campaign committees to raise and spend on a judge's candidacy on their behalf. It's just that under this ruling, a judge can't personally solicit themselves. I mean, so it's not like the campaign money can't flow. Is that enough of a protection?
Well, remember, what we're really talking about here is the public's perception that judges are not ruling based on who contributes to a campaign. But what I want to emphasize is that the bigger problem in the world of judicial elections, including retention elections, has been the unrestricted flow of special interest money, dark money, oftentimes unidentified, coming in from other states in order to try to influence the outcome of an election. And in particular, in my case, and in the case of Iowa and in Kansas and Tennessee, outside money trying to remove qualified judges from office, specifically based on either disagreement with opinions or on the desire to put another judge or justice into that office. So it's that may be a subtle point, but it's a very critical point that what we now have to focus on is how we can limit special interest money in judicial campaigns. In other words, let's look at Citizens United and try to figure out if the same free flow of money can or must apply in the judicial branch, or are there special reasons for limiting that type of third-party money.
And is there any sense now that in other states, any of these other 39 states, 38 states besides Florida, that do have judicial elections, that other states will want to curtail this type of judge campaign fundraising as Florida has now legally curtailed it?
Well, I know there are many in the judicial community and in organizations such as Justice at Stake and the Brennan Center who are looking at ways of continuing to reform the system of merit selection and retention, which is what we have in Florida for the appellate courts, to see how can we restrict the flow. So whether that comes specifically from a state or it comes within the judicial and legal community, my point is that we can't rest here, that we have to look at ways to limit this type of improper attempt to influence the outcome of judicial elections or selection or retention of judges.
Has cleaning up campaign finance started in a small corner of the judiciary? Justice Barbara Perrienti is a Florida Supreme Court justice. Justice, thank you.
Thank you.